Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh! Let him play!
I agree.
Their second best player is Nervis Solarte. I mean, come on.
Solarte.
They are...
Never nervous. Yang Hervis. City is dead. The stadium is dead. And then an hour later, I'm horned. Yankee Magic. I'm running through walls.
As we always say, you know, the board is the board.
It's the truth.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big basketball show. Good to have you with us from the Dave in the City studios in sunny Southern California, where we are continuing to cover the NBA Conference Finals. Hope you're enjoying our coverage so far here of the association. Chris in Georgia is back on the queue, ready to break it all down with us. And two series that have had a lot of blowouts so far, the East Finals and the West Finals, you know, one resounding win after another. Wasn't until last night we finally had a relatively close game in the Eastern Conference Finals Game 4 in Cleveland. The Cavs did try to make it another blowout game with an 18-point lead early on. But the Celtics bottled back from the third quarter and onward, and they did make a bit of a game of it, although they still weren't able to break through. They did get cut the lead as close as 7 points. So where we stand right now, well, two series that are teetering. One seems to be teetering into a long series. The other one seems to be teetering out of control. Let's jump it. The NBA report for May 22nd. We're into the conference finals. Andre Iguodala was reported to be out for the game tonight in Golden State. Although in the early going, it doesn't really seem to be making a difference. The Warriors up 7-0, and our friend Chris in Georgia mentioned to me before the program, it's not like Iguodala was making a huge impact in that series to begin with. So that's where we are right now. The Warriors lead that series 2-1, but it seems to get the feel, although I did think that Houston was going to have a chance to win tonight, just because usually when the Warriors win a huge game, they won Game 3 by 41 points on Sunday night. Tonight, on Tuesday, they are up 7-0. But I still think that Houston could have a chance to win this one. It's not looking good in the early going. Back at the East Final, Celtics won the first two games, one of them in by a whole lot of points. The Cavs won Game 3 in their first game in Cleveland for the series by a whole lot of points. The Celtics missing all kinds of three-pointers. But as we mentioned, Game 4, a closer affair. So now sets up a Game 5 with a series tied 2-2. So one series looking on pace to go 7 games. The other series potentially getting way out of hand if the Rockets don't rally here tonight at Oracle Arena. So let's get to it. We'll cover these two conference final series, and then later in the program we'll touch on the NBA draft lottery outcomes. A lot of chalk. I don't think there are any huge surprises as far as who won and who lost, but I think there definitely were some disappointments for some teams who really needed a bigger stand, and I think one example already, the Mavericks. But more on that coming up later in the show. So let's bring in our guest, co-host once again, Chris in Georgia. Chris, welcome back. How's it going tonight?
Hey, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing well. I think all we're rooting for right now is some juice in these series. And I think we got a little bit of it in the East. It's a very interesting spot. We'll get back to the Warriors series in a few moments. We may have to hurry because the Warriors are already up 9-0 in the first quarter. 0-for-7 from the field, the Rockets. I mean, gosh, this is not... I mean, even I've ripped the Rockets all week between these two shows, but I still thought that they were going to go with the bigger start to this game than they did. I mean, I'm a little surprised at, oh my God. Are you watching this? I mean, of course, I know you're watching the game, but I'm just like, this is insanity. I guess we will stay on the Rockets series. What do you think of this game so far?
I mean, right now, Durant just made a contested three. I mean, Houston's missing open shots, too. That's the other thing. And they just look terrible. I'm having a slight technical difficulty here, Dave, because we're having a bad storm. So I'm losing TNT. It's coming in and out. So I'm seeing maybe, you know, every 5 seconds it cuts out. So hopefully it clears up and I'll be able to watch some of this game. But something tells me by the time it does, it's going to be it's going to be another Warriors blowout. And I'm going to see it when it was at least slightly close. I mean, right now is it 10-0 or 9-0? It's 10-0, isn't it?
12-0. Because that was a 3.
12-0. Okay. That's right. Yeah, it was 9. Yep, you're right. It's not looking good. It's funny. I was thinking about these two series and you're like, yeah, they're blowouts. The other series I think has a good chance to go seven games. And, you know, this may carry through where, you know, okay, yesterday's game was closer, as you said. It wasn't even double digits. But I think the rest of the, the series can be interesting from the standpoint that it might extend to seven games. I mean, at the very least, it's going to go six. So we know we've got that. This one, I don't know, man. I think this one's, you know, we may not see a close game, Houston, I think they're done in five. I mean, that's the way it's looking to me. Even though we've seen some blowouts and the playoffs have been pretty ho-hum since the first round, unfortunately, the Eastern Conference Finals at least have a little bit of juice.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think it was from a juice standpoint, I think it was important that the Cavs had an answer. I personally don't know how they're doing it other than LeBron. I mean, and obviously LeBron's a huge factor. I mean, I was seeing him and he was really going for the hoop. And I know that in game, really both games, but in game four, you know, even when the Celtics start to come a little closer, LeBron will always have that answer, whether it was a outside shot or moreover in game four, the ability to get to the hoop and get a bucket that way. And I don't even think you even criticize anyone for that. I mean, LeBron really is one of the greats. And I mean, that's just him at his great in his greatness. I think the Celtics, like you said, are feeling the ebb and flow of the series. And I didn't really think, even at any point during the weekend, that there was any real cause for concern long term, because what I noticed is that, you know, a lot of these guys who were making big shots in Boston were making the same big shots in Cleveland, but it doesn't mean that they will not do so. It's just, you know, the initial pop you get in game three, I mean, that's to be expected. I mean, I don't think that's a real surprise. Game four, I was expecting a close game. We pretty much got it. I think we you know, granted, I don't think the Celtics were necessarily a threat to win, but they definitely were very close to that. Like, I thought they did a great job at trying to battle back. I mean, when you're down 18 points, that is hard to make a dent into. And the Celtics are unlike a lot of teams in the NBA where if they're down 18 points, they're not going to quit on it. They really tried to play some great defense, got some good stops. They gave it a good shot. I thought that was good, a good reflection on them in a loss. And moral victories may not necessarily amount to much in the end, but I still think it was good. And it means that they should be pretty confident for Game 5. So that'll be a very interesting one tomorrow. Now, what were your keys to what the Celtics could do to improve, not only just on the road, but just in general? Like, what was it that was lacking from their point of view in those last two games?
Well, let's talk about last night's game because it's a little fresher in my mind. And let's face it, I mean, game three was never close, and it was a 30-point blowout. Last night's game, the positives, if you can call it that, the Celtics were very unlucky. They missed a lot of shots right under the hoop. They missed like four or five dunks. I mean, dunks. I mean, that just went in and out of the cylinder. They were missing layups. Just really easy shots underneath. And so, I mean, I think right there, I mean, that was, you know, that was the difference in the game. I mean, especially early on, the first half. The Celtics played very poor defense in the first, particularly in the first quarter, but in the first half, they gave up 68 points, and you can't expect to win that game if you're allowing the opponent 68 points in one half. Couple things. One was, we heard about all the switching that the Boston was doing on defense with Horford and Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Well, Cleveland made a nice adjustment, and they, particularly last night, they picked it apart and they got the mismatches they wanted to, and they got the ball in LeBron's hands, and they had Terry Rozier guarding him, which is not a favorable matchup for the Celtics. And so you saw numerous times LeBron just kind of backing Terry down into the paint. And it's a huge size disadvantage. And like you said before, you can't really blame anyone for this. I mean, LeBron's going to do that. But, you know, with a different guy on him, with the Jaylen or a Ojale or a Marcus Morris, you feel like you have a better chance. With a Rozier, it's a much tougher it's a much tougher matchup. And so the Celtics have their work cut out for them. I think they'll win tomorrow. It is Wednesday. So after 3 days of inactivity in the series, when it went from Boston to Cleveland, we only get one day off this time, which is a little odd to me, but it's good. I'm glad we don't have a huge layoff like we did last time. So I just think they can tighten up the D. The other interesting stat about last night's game, Dave, is Cleveland won the first quarter. They scored, I think they had 35 points in the first quarter. Maybe they had more, 38, something like that. Every other quarter, the Celtics won, which is an interesting thing. You don't often see that, where a team that wins three out of the four quarters actually loses the game. It was a tough loss. I mean, they cut it to seven. I think that was as close as it got. Celtics, and they could never really, after that, they could never really close the gap, and Cleveland came storming back, and it was a tough one. But I'm convinced this is going seven. I think home court will cover us until game seven. But if it comes to game seven, I wouldn't bet against LeBron. And I from the beginning, I had the Cavs up, winning in seven. So my bet is, not that I bet on this, but it's I'm feeling safe on that one.
Yeah, I think we both made the same prediction. We both predicted that it would go seven. I think we even said that the Cavs would win in seven. And both ends of that look like they're on point. I actually have looked at it, and after the first two games, I thought, well, maybe Boston will win it in seven. After all, in the end, because home court is a big factor, I think, and whenever you talk about NBA playoffs these days, so. But either way, I feel like we both had the right idea. This is going to be a long series, and I think it has played out so far. So that's definitely what I'm hoping for. We know that it can go a minimum of six games. Even though there's been a lot of blowouts, I think that there's been some good intrigue, and I don't think it's necessarily a given that either team is going to win at this point. And for the purpose of watching the series, I think that's a good thing. So there will be answers. Brad Stevens always has a way to react and respond to a game. And I think even the Cavs have been making adjustments, and they're trying to get bigger, and they've been more aggressive to the hoop. So it's all been pretty good strategy for the most part. And I think guys, I don't know, what do you think, Chris? Do you think both sides are responding and adjusting to either game, each game as we go along?
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, the Cavs defense in Boston was horrendous. I mean, the Celtics were driving, especially in game one, were getting to the basket with ease. And I saw a stat from yesterday's game where I think 77% of the Celtics shots were contested. So they've definitely, you know, they've definitely given credit. They've done a good job. I mean, I pointed out that the Celtics missed a lot of easy shots last night, but the Cavs have definitely tightened it up. And like I pointed out, they've made adjustments on how they're going to attack Boston's defense. And so the ball's in Brad Stevens' court now. And what's his next chess move, you know? So it'll be fun to watch. And I do hope this goes seven, because I just think the playoffs really need that little bit of spark.
Yeah.
Especially if the Warriors team that I'm looking at right now, I don't know who's going to beat them. And so I just want a little bit of juice here, because we haven't had anything like it since round one. It's Sixers Celtics series was decent. It was okay, but we haven't had a lot of excitement in the playoffs.
Yeah, no.
Especially since the first round.
Oh, that first round was tremendous, but everything since then has been very, very, I don't know what the word is, but underwhelming, I think, is the best word I can come up with. I mean, we go through each of the series. Like you said, the Sixers series was the best one, but it still only went five games. Like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that same matchup next year is going to be amazing. That's a seven-game series in the making, but not this year. So, you know, I think the Sixers just were a little bit not ready for prime time in that. But then all these other series, like, you know, the Warriors just spanked the Pelicans. The Rockets spanked Utah. And then that was just an unfortunate situation because the Utah injuries were just too much. Who else? And Cleveland. Oh, yeah, Cleveland swept Toronto. That's a big reason why the playoffs have been underwhelming. Toronto, they just... gave nothing once they got past the first round. It was just so disappointing. So I don't know what to do with that. So yeah, and like you said, the conference finals has been about the same. And then we look at the West final, as you just mentioned. I mean, I am very surprised. Well, I shouldn't be that surprised because I've been down on Houston most of the week, but I thought that maybe this would be a more rugged affair than we were getting. And that's a goaltend. Yeah, they counted it. So the Warriors at this point are up 21 to, as you will see in a moment, 12 in the first quarter. And I don't see the Rockets as being a comeback team. And that's a very key point, Chris. Do you see the Rockets as being a comeback team? Like, do you see them making comeback? Have you seen them making comebacks throughout the year? Like down 10 or down 5 or down 2 or whatever?
Well, they did in the first round against the Timberwolves. They made some comebacks, but it's just, you know, coming back against this team. When how do you stop Golden State?
Yeah,
and you can be on the streak of all streaks if you're the Rockets and you're just hitting every shot. But that means on the other end, you got to stop them to cut into that lead. And how do you stop Golden State?
That's tough.
Especially, I mean, Curry is back. I mean, I've been saying, oh, he's hurt. He's not 100%. And he goes out and scores 35 the other night with 5 3-pointers. He is, I mean, if Curry is 100%, no one's beating them. Nobody. The Rockets might be the best team they'll face. And like I said, I think it's going to go five. So have I seen the Rockets come back? Absolutely. I've seen them play some fantastic games against Boston, against Toronto. But this is a different beast, and I'm still frozen. It's strange. Some of my channels I can get. I have the Red Sox game on, but for whatever reason, TNT is... I am not getting a signal on there, so you're going to be my eyes and ears for the next hour.
All right, well, I'll give you a quick update. I mentioned that we're coming out of commercial. There's 2:25 to go, and the score is still 21-12. You basically hit it on the nose, though. You know, I've been, as much as I can criticize the style of play that Houston makes, and again, I repeat, they are not a boring team. It's just a one-dimensional team that I feel like is very easy to exploit. That's been my feeling on the Rockets most of the year. But even if they weren't,
like, let's say they were a more balanced team and they had a third scorer. As you mentioned, it might still not be, it still may not be enough. I mean, think about how good Houston has been as a defensive team. Their defense has been good the entire season. And it gets a little skewed because of how many shots they take, but as you know, when they're on offense, but their defense has been very, very solid. And yet, some of these games, especially game three, they got spanked. And you just nailed it. Chris, you nailed it 100% when you talked about Curry. Because Curry was very, very, I don't know, maybe underwhelming or just not up to his usual level in the first two games. I mean, the moment he broke out in game three, I'm like, and I was thinking it the whole time, like, well, if he breaks out, oh my goodness, this is going to be a disaster for Houston. And he breaks out and they win by 41. So it's like, now what? Yeah, you know, that's the toughest thing. That's what's so tough about this. I do not know what the answer is. I think even if Houston was playing optimally, they just need a third guy. They need that third go-to. They have two go-to guys. They have Harden, they have Paul. But I don't see a third guy that can bring you 15 to 20 points a night on that team. And it's just not going to hold up. I mean, like you said, you can have maybe Curry have a bad game. You might see Kevin Durant have a bad game. You might see Klay have a bad game. But you're just not going to see all three of them have a bad game. Like, usually one of them is going to be on their game. And that often is enough. So it's tough sledding. And I think, oh, man, I don't know. I guess... I thought the only thing that could really stop, that could really slow down the Warriors is the Warriors. And what I mean by that is sometimes they do get a little tired and they start making sloppy mistakes. And that explains game number two in that series where they got blown out by Houston. Because they were making a lot of turnovers, the Warriors, in that game. Other than that, you know, straight up, you know, all else being equal, It's just a tough task, and it has been all year. Golden State's now up 26-15. Durant just hits another one. I mean, what are you going to do to stop Durant? Even if you get another guy on him, he has better length than you 90% of the time. Like, it's just, and you're like, okay, let's force him to an outside shot. He hits almost all of them. He's been on fire this series. It's Chris. I really don't know what you would do.
Yeah, Durant's unguardable. I mean, how do you stop that guy? I mean, he can score from anywhere on the floor. He can get to wherever he wants on the floor. I mean, it's unfair. It really is unfair.
Yeah, it is.
But getting back to one of your earlier point about like the scoring and the balance. I mean, the interesting thing about Game Two, when the Rockets actually won pretty handily, was that they were like very balanced. I think they had five players who scored 16 or more points, and Harden and Eric Gordon had 27. So, you know, Gordon was like the kind of guy. He's the guy who stepped up and filled that void in scoring. But I don't disagree with you. I think, you know, having a third guy, LeBron, would be huge for them. And just a little. Look, I've been saying that all spring. I've been on that. Like, he's going to go to Houston. We'll see. Who knows? Maybe he stays in Cleveland. Maybe he goes somewhere else. Maybe he goes to your Lakers. But that's been my call. Just because he has that relationship with Chris Paul, and that would be an interesting addition to that team, because they'd have that inside, you know, penetrator, like a guy who could just be unstopped going to the basket every time. When Harden goes to the basket, I mean, yeah, he's an effective scorer, but a lot of times he's looking to draw that foul. LeBron will just bulldoze everyone. And I don't know. I think it would be an interesting – I think they'd have to adjust their offense quite a bit, but yeah, they could certainly make it work.
Yeah. I wonder how Harden would respond to that, though, because he's not going to be the guy anymore, and I don't know if he's going to take that so well.
Well, I mean, what does that mean, though? Like, if his scoring average goes down by like 5 points, and LeBron comes in, and you know, they're winning, Does he care? I don't know. Maybe he does.
Some people do.
I wouldn't.
That's a scary thing.
If I knew you're adding a guy who gives us a better chance to win in the postseason, and it's going to knock my scoring down, I don't really care. I don't think.
I don't think. Well, I mean, I mean, you and I think if we were players in the NBA, we absolutely would be all in on that. Like, we wouldn't care if we were down, if our scoring average goes down. We make it work.
Yeah. You might be right. We'll see. I don't know. It's a long shot. I mean, they'd have to. Daryl Morey would have to get very creative with the cap, and in order to fit LeBron there. But it could happen.
What kind of players would you be losing in that exchange? I'm not familiar with all the cap scenarios with that team, but
the big one and the most logical one, and it'd be hard. I don't know how they would do it, but Ryan Anderson would be the guy who would probably have to go. And but I don't know. I mean, maybe I don't know how they could. Like I said, Morey can get creative, and he probably has worked out a scenario where he can trade one or more contracts to make room for a max. And it'll be fun. I mean, we definitely have to do some hot stove stuff, Dave, because I think the off season is going to be bananas.
Yeah.
But I believe that Ryan Anderson was in that 2016 free agency class when everybody thought that the money and the salary cap was just going to keep going up, 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 and up. And as we found out, it didn't. It went down last year. It's probably going to go down this year. And there were a lot of teams were stuck with horrible contracts. That was the year of Alan Crabb. And that was when the Lakers signed Timofey Mozgov. So there were some horrendous contracts flying around. And I think Ryan Anderson was in that group. And guys made some fairly mediocre players made a lot of money in that offseason.
Yeah.
And
killer.
So we'll see. I don't know. Yeah. It was killer. It really was. Your Lakers are smart. They got out of it. And now they're in the most cap room of anybody.
And that's a remarkable achievement because some of those.
It really is.
I mean, those are terrible deals. It's incredible.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I think, wasn't Mozgov the first? He was the first guy who signed in that offseason. Didn't the Lakers basically sign him like at 12:01 after free agency? Like,
yeah, man.
They basically called him that night and signed him the next morning or something.
I seem to remember that, yeah. He was one of the, I didn't remember it being that early, but I think you think it was. And, I don't miss him right now. So I guess we all can agree to that. 2019 is the lead for the Warriors as we begin the second quarter. We're about... Oh, it's just starting. These commercial breaks are long. It's like, we're like 2 minutes. No, actually, it just started. The second quarter barely started right now. So let's see what answers, if any, the Rockets have the rest of the way. But pretty much going back to the series again, I could see this going five. I could see it going six because the Warriors might make some mistakes in game five in Houston, and they might give away that game and then just kind of make it seem like a better series than it is, and then go to a game six, which they win by 30 points. But we'll see. I mean, I would be interested to see what the Warriors' record in closeout games would be this postseason. But I think it was pretty good. Just because they won one series in five, they won the other one in 5-2. Would they? It was also five.
Yep.
They
played. It was five in both. You're right. Yep.
So the closeout record was pretty good in that case. So I guess I wouldn't even think about that. Yeah. So.
Yeah, you were talking about playoff disappointments. The other one, you said Toronto. The other one was really, it has to be Portland, losing in four in the first round to the Pelicans.
So true.
Was just brutal.
Yeah.
The third seed, they had that hot streak at the end of the year, and then just out. But other than that, like the first round, I mean, the Spurs-Warriors series wasn't great, but you had some good ones. You had Toronto-Washington. You had that Cavs-Pacers series that went seven.
Mm-hmm.
The Celtics-Bucks series that went seven. Even though it wasn't like a long series. Philly, Miami was decent. Philly had a bunch of comebacks. So there was a lot of juice. That Oklahoma City Utah series was a lot of fun.
That's
so
true.
There was a lot of juice in the first round, and we haven't seen it since then.
Yeah, I know. But at least we had a good first round, which is very rare in the modern NBA. So perhaps a good sign for the future too, because I think these teams are only going to get better. Utah's going to get better. We know that. The Lakers will get better, so maybe they'll even make it. We know that. Who else is getting? Well, Milwaukee could get better too. Just addition by subtraction.
Milwaukee
of the coach.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Teams. Those teams can definitely see some room for improvement. Minnesota could get better, but I have my doubts. Like you said, it's probably not a well-run organization right now.
And plus, you have all the rumors swirling now that like maybe Karl Anthony Towns is wanting out of there.
That is
a rough situation, Dave. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen. We'll have to keep our eye on that scenario because that could blow up.
Yeah,
really
the whole thing
up.
Could blow up.
So
yeah. Boy, look at that. Look how quickly that got away. Because there was that little moment for about a month where we thought that the Wolves might be the next best thing in the NBA's Western Conference. And they have not really.
Well, definitely. They were the third best record for a long stretch. And then Butler got hurt. And then they sunk like a rock.
Yeah.
And they sunk in the standings. And, you know, let's face it, Butler is like one of the only guys that plays defense on that team.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. The story that happened was Karl Anthony Towns. Someone posted a picture on Instagram of him wearing a Suns shirt, and then Devin Booker liked it, like the photo. Mm. And Booker and Towns were teammates in Kentucky, and it started the rumors like, oh, well, they're good friends and they play together, and maybe they're talking behind the scenes. So who knows? It could be a whole lot, much ado about nothing, Dave, but it's worth keeping an eye on just because you never know. And these trades, man, like last year, Chris Paul and Kyrie Irving getting traded, that was crazy. It was just almost unthinkable right when the off season started, and look what happened.
Yeah, seriously. Here we are, right? I'll provide an update on the Golden State game. Warriors are up 30-21, closing in on 9 minutes remaining in the second quarter. Klay Thompson just left the game. He was going up for a layup, and he started to pull on his ankle a little bit. So, I don't know, it didn't look that serious because he was walking fine as he was going into the tunnel, but he is currently out of the game. We'll see if he comes back at some point later in the game. And those of you listening tonight probably will know how severe it actually was. Now, that's an interesting promotion. All right, do you have the game back up or no?
No, I still have the Red Sox game on because it is not – I can't see anything on TNT.
I was referring to a Taco Bell promotion where it says if a team steals a game, you get a taco. It's kind of similar to the stolen base promotion from baseball, but I didn't understand what steal a game meant. Like, if you win and...
Yeah, what does that mean?
I'm not really sure. I'm going to look it up right now on the computer because I'm actually quite intrigued by this idea. Maybe if they steal a game on the road or something like that, if a team wins a game on the road, but... if that really is a promotion, then forget it, Taco Bell. You're not going to get it in this series.
Well, you never know. Could
you might get it in game, but I did mention game five. I think that maybe, I was saying that the Houston would win that game. So maybe the Warriors could win that game, though. That would be qualified as a steal. We'll see. Rockets start keeping it a little closer. It's a 7-point game now. So we'll see. I wanted to ask quickly about the Red Sox game, just for my personal indulgement, because I have Chris Sale in my FanDuel. Is he still pitching?
He is not. Joe Kelly is in. The Red Sox have a 4-2 lead. And I'm trying to... I tried to flip back to the basketball game, so I can't check on the inning. But I think they'll be fine. And I think so. You have them in a FanDuel kind of thing, is that right?
Yep. Chris Sale has been an incredibly dominant pitcher throughout most of the year, so I thought it'd be worth a try tonight.
They usually don't score runs for him, but they did reasonably well tonight, and I think he should be safe on the win. It is the top of the ninth.
Okay, so that's pretty good. I don't know how many innings he went. He went at least six, I know, but I don't remember. Did you catch how many strikeouts?
Seven and two-thirds, 9 Ks, 2 walks.
That's not bad.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I think that might be enough to get to carry my contest to a win tonight. It's just a 50-50, too. It's not like I have to win the thing. I just have to be, you know, the best, one of the top five out of 10. Only 10. So probably a good chance. Let me give you that promotion now. So the Taco Bell steal a base, or steal a game, steal a taco. Promotion returns, meaning a free Doritos Locos Taco for all of America. The first time the road team steals a win from the home team during the finals. So all that means is that the first road team to win in the finals will nab the taco. That's a virtual guarantee, unless, especially with 2-2-1-1-1, I think it is a virtual guarantee. I think one team will win a road game somewhere in there. May not happen until game 3 or 4, but I think it will. I think there's a good chance of it happening in the finals. So that's a pretty cool. It's a pretty cool tie-in, I think.
It's creative.
Yeah, definitely creative. Absolutely. That's what I was going to refer to as. There's something else I was thinking that was creative too regarding this playoff, these playoffs this year. But that definitely was a cool promo. So yeah, I think that'll be one to watch. Obviously, I think most people would select the Warriors to do the stealing of the game on the road, but it doesn't really matter. I mean, as long as anybody wins a road game, it should be fine. So there it is. So that's pretty much it for the conference finals right now. We'll continue with some updates on both of these series. And we'll take it from there. But now let's get to the draft lottery, which was last week. And the winner of the NBA draft lottery is the Phoenix Suns. They will be picking first in the draft. Not a surprise to anybody. I think most people around the NBA would agree that they were the worst team in the league this year. And Chris, I know that we've talked about that team a lot. They were brutal. So not surprisingly, they would have the best shot at getting the number one pick. And they have it. So we'll see about it, what they will do with it. Second place, or the number two pick, goes to Sacramento, the Kings. And the third pick in the draft will go to the Atlanta Hawks, who were pretty up and down this year, but mostly down, as you well know, living out there in Atlanta. The fourth pick in the draft goes to Memphis. And the Grizzlies were just as brutal as the Suns. But somehow they ended up with the fourth pick. Dallas, same thing, but bad break for them. They had to settle for the fifth pick in the draft. After that, it's Orlando at number six, Chicago at number seven, and the Cleveland Cavs. The reason that the Cavs have the eighth pick in the draft is because it came via the trade with Brooklyn via Boston, which means what?
That was a Kyrie Irving trade.
That was the Irving trade. Wow. So yep. That's the trade. That's yep. What they got. Okay.
Yep. They got him. They got IT. They got Jay Crowder. They got Ante Zizic, who's a center. And yeah. I think they traded him. I think he's on the Lakers now, isn't he? I think he went to the Lakers too. And they got that pick. And I just want to make a point. We talked about the top three teams in the draft. Phoenix, Sacramento, Atlanta.
Yep.
I hold the distinction of having seen all three of those teams in person this year. I'm probably one of about maybe 30,000 people who can make that claim.
Yeah, you're right.
So I should probably have my head examined, but there you go.
Yeah.
Did you actually watch it, Dave? Did you watch the proceedings? Did you watch that show?
No, I didn't get to this time. I had to, you know, I was taking the bus home, so they run that thing at between 5 and 5:30, so I usually can't.
It's one of those things that really they stretch it out now, and it's an hour long. I remember they used to do it like at halftime during a playoff game.
I remember the halftime, yeah.
Yeah, and now it's like it's an hour long show, and they have you know potential draftees at the event, and it's a big thing now. It's huge, and they talk about the prospects, and they even go into at the very end after the ping pong balls are all sorted out. They even go into predicting who teams will take and so forth and. So it's quite a spectacle now, but it was interesting seeing who Barry's team sent, and my own Atlanta Hawks. And this is a little bit of trivia I didn't know about. They sent one of the owner's wives, who is an actress named Jamie Gertz.
I still can't believe that. Yeah, I know Jamie Gertz because she's in a bunch of TV shows, but. I did not, but that's the Jamie Gertz from like all sorts of TV shows. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I remember from Lost Boys, and I'm like, wait, what does Jamie Gertz have to do with the Hawks? And I don't know how I didn't know this, but she's married to one of the principal owners.
Wow.
And so she was, you had this like kind of, you had a motley crew. You had, De'Aaron Fox was representing the Kings. I can't remember who was there from the Suns. The Celtics sent an executive. But it was an interesting event. The Cleveland Cavaliers held true to tradition, and the owner sent his son,
mm-hmm.
He sent him, I think they won. Did they have? They won the lottery like 3 straight years or something like that. It was like when they had Kyrie and I can't remember. Maybe it was 2 years in a row. But they back then, it seemed like they're in the lottery every year. And after LeBron left Cleveland for the first time, and they were in pretty bad shape. So all around is an entertaining night. I mean, it's one of those things. Like I was telling someone else. You know, this is a 5-minute show stretched over an hour, but but the fact that they
isn't that every TV show now, like every TV show's like that.
It's true, yeah, it's true. They just jam it full of stuff, and like yeah. I do not remember them sending the prospects there before. Mm-hmm. I don't recall seeing that before, but this was the first time that I remember. But it was overall entertaining. It was kind of a lesson to Memphis, who in my mind was tanking and really going for that number one pick.
Yeah.
And they fell and Dallas fell. You give yourself the best chance, but they both kind of got screwed there. So it's just, you know, it's a fun little thing. And I had smallest of hopes that Laker pick could fall into either the 2 or 3 slot and the Celtics would get a nice pick, but it wasn't to be. And I was just happy that neither the Sixers nor the Cavs moved up too far. So that everything kind of fell into place after that. So,
yep.
But good times. And I can't, I'm fired up for the draft, even though my team isn't. It's going to be picking late in all likelihood. It'll be fun.
I think that 8th pick will also be interesting. I imagine a Celtics fan would find interest in that too, just to see where would the Celtics have picked if they.
True.
But
go ahead.
Is that right? Did you have that right? Because I mean, they traded it to Brooklyn, and the reason that it's number 8 is because Brooklyn's so bad this year, and and so
that was the last part. Yeah, that was the last part of that Paul Pierce Kevin Garnett trade was that pick.
Yeah,
and it was the main. Let's face it, it was the main reason why Cleveland traded Kyrie to the Celtics.
Yeah, this is what it's about, that pick. And yep. We were yelling at the Cavs all year, don't trade that pick. And they didn't trade that pick. They traded the other pick, and the Lakers got that. And so the Lakers will actually have a first-round pick this year because of it. Not bad, actually.
What is that pick? The Lakers got Cleveland's own pick, so it's 25.
It was like 20. Yeah, I was gonna say 25. I was gonna say 26, but 25. Yep, that's right.
Yeah, so, the Lakers were the only team to actually at the trade deadline to get a number one. It just shows you where we are now. Like, number ones are extremely valuable because teams don't have, most teams anyways. Your team is one of the exceptions, but most teams don't have that salary cap room to do anything.
Right.
And so these young kids who can come in and play at much smaller dollar amounts can be contributors and can help fill out the roster. And so it just goes to show you that you can undervalue first rounders, but it becomes cyclical, especially with the salary cap implications.
Yep. Yeah, and that's where the draft is going to be really, really big time. And so I promise everybody here that you all listening to the program tonight will be treated to a good NBA draft preview with Chris and me. And I will see if Tommy can join us for that. That'll be a very interesting show. He's really good with college basketball prospects, so I think he'll be a valuable add to the roundtable. So listen for that in about a month from now. Meanwhile, back in...
That'll be fun. That'll be great if we can get him on, because he's a big Villanova guy. And there are two guards that are rumored to be in that late first round area where the Celtics pick. And a lot of rumors that, a lot of the mocks have one of them going to Boston, or in some cases, depending on which one you're looking at, they've both been... in the mix in the mocks, so it'd be good to get his insight. And like you said, yeah, he follows college hoops a lot more than I do, and so it would be great to get that insight.
For
sorry
sure.
I didn't mean to interrupt, Dave.
Oh, no problem. It's definitely going to be a fun show. It's a very good year to do draft coverage, because I think this draft could be very deep, and we'll see. So let me give you an update on the game. So the Rockets made a big run, a 9-2 run, which was punctuated by a James Harden dunk and an and-one free throw. And so at that point, the Rockets had cut the lead to as few as 2 points. The Warriors got a bucket, then the Rockets made another bucket, and between that and free throws, it was a two-point lead again, but the Warriors just made another shot. And so right now, the Dubs lead by 4 points in the second quarter. So the Rockets have made this game more interesting. I think that's that has something to do with the fact that Klay Thompson had to leave the game, but he did come back only a few moments ago, so he is back in the mix too. So now we got ourselves a little bit of a game. We'll see if the Warriors can answer with a run of their own, but the Rockets definitely trying to make something of it here in the second quarter. So we'll see if anything occurs there. I think what I was going to ask you is whether you see this trend of teams and players whether you see teams and players start to pack it in scenarios where they don't have things going, and if things get, like if the other team just puts up a big run on them, they just kind of fold. Now, these last couple of nights, I think, have been illustrations that, no, that doesn't always happen. And the Sixers series is another illustration that, no, it doesn't always happen. But do you see that sometimes in the playoffs where teams just like, you know what, nah, we're done. And then they just pretty much give away the game? I mean, because we do see a lot of blowouts, and I wonder if that's part of what factors into it. What do you think of the possibility of such a phenomenon?
You know, it's so funny you say that. I was thinking about that in Game 3 of the Celtics-Cavs series, because Boston was out of that early, and as I mentioned before, they lost by 30. I think the final was 116-86. And, you know, I thought, well, I can't remember what the score was at the halftime, but I was thinking, well, maybe they should, they can make a few adjustments on defense. Cavs have been on fire hitting threes. I mean, they ended up shooting 50% from 3-point. I think they were 17-34 from three, and there's your game right there. And then I thought about it. I was like, you know what? It's such a long shot to make it back. And if you make an adjustment here and you show your hand, then that gives Lou a chance to, you know, to make the next move in game four. And so maybe you hold off and you just kind of, you know, you just, as you pointed out, as you described it, pack it in and kind of maybe conserve your energy, rest some starters, and then plan for the next game. I don't know. It did occur to me that teams might do that, especially, you know, a team like the Celtics were up 2-0 at that point, that they could, you know, that they weren't under the gun. You know, potentially maybe the Cavs did it. Well, I don't know. It's a possibility. I have no idea though, Dave. In the right circumstances, it is a reasonable scenario though. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I see it. I mean, I've seen it with the Rockets. If they're like, if they start to really, if things aren't falling, it's either that they just pack it in, or they just settle for threes and they're like, oh, I'm just going to chuck a three. And then they'll be very, very, I should emphasize this, but they're just like, three. They're not going to try to penetrate. So, I think that this is definitely a real thing, but the more I analyze it, the more I see that it doesn't apply in all scenarios. It's just dependent on what's going on. And I think if you're not doing well from 3-point range, it seems to be the beginning of a miserable night like that. I know that, and it works both ways. Like if the other team's just that you can't miss from 3-point range, then at some point you almost start to go like, well, what are we doing here? And like, you know, maybe we should just, you know, try again for the next game. So I have definitely seen it. But I will admit that it's not a consistent trend, and it really does carry over. It really does depend from game to game. But you notice like a lot of things that we've noticed throughout the entire history of the NBA playoffs is, like, for example, the game three at home for the home team after falling behind 0-2 in a series. I mean, how many times do they win, right? I mean, so many times they win that game because they've had all the rest. They're getting a huge boost from the crowd. And a lot of guys are going to try to put forth their best effort. You've seen it so many times where a team will win that game three. And, you know, both teams in those respective game threes won in very convincing fashion. So sometimes it's as simple as that, right? So I do think that this trend exists, but at the same time, I think it does depend on the team and it does depend on the series. But I will say, I don't remember it being that easy for some teams in the 90s or in the 80s or even in the zeros, like in at the start of the millennium. I don't remember teams just losing by, okay, we're just going to lose by 30. You know, like you're down by like 15 and it's already like the third quarter. I'm like, all right, that's it. Let's rest your guys. We'll just try again. I don't remember quite that many blowouts in past years. Like, you know, teams will blow other teams out, but you usually would at least get a handful of close games in every series. But we have had occasional series this year where literally every game was a blowout. I think there was one game I can remember. One of the Spurs Heat series, I think it was. I don't know which one it was. I think it might have been either the one that ended up going seven, where you had an amazing game six. I still think that was one of the great NBA finals I've ever seen. But we did have a bunch of games there where like it just got way out of hand. Remember that? And the other one I think was the next year where I thought, you know, the Spurs really got a handle on a game, and then it was just no answer from Miami at that point. So, I don't know. If you step back through history, do you remember do you remember any series where like every game was a blowout? Like even a 7-game series where every game was decided by a whole lot of points? It seems to happen more now than before. But
Yeah, I'm just thinking about the last, you know, the last eight games between, you know, in the conference finals, you know, these four games in each side, and I don't remember anything like this where it, you know, both teams are blowing each other out.
Yeah.
And I mean, even the, like, it's surprising when the Warriors lose that much, but I think they lost by 20, 25 points, something like that.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, that's not the case.
And that would be an argument.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that would be an argument. I almost want to go back and rewatch that game because, like, how did that happen? And I'm looking at the box score now, and it's not like they decided to rest their starters. I mean, Draymond Green played 37 minutes in that game.
Right.
And, you know, Klay played 36 and Steph played 34. So they were out there playing for most of the game. So it is strange how these conference finals have unfolded because of the fact that, like you pointed out, the games haven't been close.
Yeah, it's crazy.
There's something strange going on there. I agree.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's an interesting theory, Dave. And it, like I said, it did occur to me, like especially in Game 3 in England.
Well, it's ironic we bring this up now because as we say this, the Houston Rockets have had an incredible run. And you're not going to believe this, but they are up by 10 points now. The Rockets, 53-43. And I think defense led the way. I mean, Harden has been getting a couple of steals in the middle of this run. Now, did they just foul Durant shooting a three? That's a tough break for Houston, but they're up 10 as we speak. Oh yeah, that's. Oh no, no, that was earlier. They're showing a replay of the steal Harden had of Durant. Now Simmons and company, aka the Ringer, came up with the theory that, first of all, Kevin Durant is at the free throw line shooting what I believe are three free throws. That's a pretty bogus foul. I didn't see much contact on that. But anyway, Ringer and Company, a.k.a. the Bill Simmons Network, speculated that... now I forgot what I was going to say. But they were saying... Oh, okay. I forgot. That's kind of rare. I actually forgot what I was going to bring up. But... I thought that there was something to the effect of Golden State making a lot of... Oh, there you go. I found it. Okay. So the reason why Golden State can sometimes make a lot of mistakes and lose a game just out of the blue, especially coming off of a big win, which it seems to be the pattern right now. It's kind of crazy. Even after being up by as many as 12 points, they're suddenly down by 7, and they were down by as many as 10. But what they were saying is that I think the problem is there isn't any one guy that really has the, the kind of the go-getter. You know what I mean? Like there isn't that guy with the Michael Jordan style killer instinct. And I don't know if you agreed with that, but I thought about it. I'm like, yeah, we know that Durant doesn't have that. We know that Steph can kind of be back and can, you know, you're never really 100% sure if he's going to be in that boat. Klay definitely doesn't have that. He's a good supporting player, but I don't think he literally will take a game over on his own accord. So it's a good question. I don't know. It's now halftime in the game. The Rockets are up 53-46. They scored quite a bit. Harden and Paul combined for 23 points in the second quarter. It's quite incredible. But what does it mean? It should mean that the Rockets are on their way to a good game. But it will happen if they finally do what I've been hoping they would do: battle a game. They're doing it in the first half, but can they do it in the second half, Chris? I ask you.
I think it's a great question. I really wish I could watch this game. It's kind of annoying me that I haven't seen this comeback. Again, I don't know why I can see the Red Sox, but I can't see TNT. But oh well. Hopefully, I can see the second half and be able to have a decent response. I think. Man, I wish I could. So it's just Harden is just going off right now.
Pretty much. I mean, and their defense. The defense was really good in that run. They were really forcing a lot of turnovers in the second quarter. I think that's where it all started. I think their defense was really, and it was really individual defense too. Like, you know, Capella was in on it, Paul was in on it, and I mentioned Harden earlier. So they were all making big defensive plays to get the ball and they were going to the hoop. And I mentioned the Thunder stunk by Harden. That's going to be an interesting watch. Absolutely. Yeah, I
guess.
So
what's the deal with Clay? Did he eventually come back out, or he just?
No, he's been back out. Yeah,
draft?
He's been back out for a while, like pretty much most of the second quarter. So yeah, he's been. He's actually been okay, but I think the question before we get into any of the particulars as far as the Rockets, do you agree with the Ringer's point that the Warriors don't really have that killer instinct guy, meaning the guy that says, "Hey, let's just do this."
Well, if the standard is Michael Jordan, I mean, who really does, right? I mean, it's like there's been 10 players in league history that you could say that about.
Yeah. Well, but you've had Magic, you have Larry. Like, these are guys that are like, when they have an opportunity to seize a moment, they seize a moment. That's what I'm thinking.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why I said 10 players. Magic,
Larry. Oh, you're
Larry,
saying there's only 10. Oh, wow.
Jerry West.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a few players. LeBron is in that category. Mm-hmm. Curry definitely is. Absolutely. Curry fires his team up. He absolutely is. And he'll do whatever he can. He's, you know, you think about Steph and he's like a great 3-point shooter, but he's a really underrated penetrator and finisher. He's excellent. In fact, he definitely has that. Clay is just too laid back, which is fine. Every team needs a guy like that. He's just kind of a cool guy. I don't know about Durant. I don't necessarily agree. Like you kind of dismissed him right off the bat. I don't know that I agree. I think he does have a little bit of that. Look, Draymond for sure has that. I mean, he doesn't have, you know, the talent of like some of the other guys we're talking about, but Draymond for sure
absolutely
has that in spades. So I don't know. You know, we're talking about very obviously subjective things here, but I would strenuously disagree with that point.
Well, that rundown labels three guys that have killer instinct. I mean, you mentioned Steph, and you argue KD. I would not agree with that, but I do agree with Draymond. I think they're all. I think he's definitely a go getter. So then the question is, why do they let up in some of these games? On the other hand, when you think about, when I say quote unquote some of these games, almost all of them are regular season games, so I almost have to throw that out. I mean, think about it. They lost one game in the first round, they lost one game in the second round, they lost one game in this round. I don't think that suddenly means that they're not having killer instinct. It's probably a case of where you're trying to make a story rather than cover a story. And the Ringer is prone to that from time to time. Oh, I
Dave,
thought
you
had a comment on that. I thought you had a comment on
oh,
that.
Oh, no. Oh, no problem. No, yeah. Look, I mean, they were facing a lot of adversity this year. Like Steph missed a whole bunch of games. The season is long. I think teams do look at what Cleveland's done and say, you know, if you're the Warriors, look, they won 72 games, didn't they?
Yeah.
And they didn't win a title that year. It's like, well, that's
73.
A nice achievement.
Yeah.
73. Yeah, that's right. It was the Bulls who won 72. So they broke the Bulls record. So it's a nice achievement. But if you kind of feel hollow if you don't win the entire thing after that. So I think there's something to be said for that too, you know, where you're winning as many of the 82 games as you can is all it gets you is home court advantage. And you know, you may not have to, you know, you can probably take your foot off the pedal a little bit here and still get that if you're the Warriors.
Yeah. And that's ultimately what happened. I mean, they really didn't face a mission critical game until this, in essence, this series. I mean, really, they never really faced anybody that you thought, well, this is the series. This is the thing. This is the series. You got to prove yourself. Spurs, I mean, they were just, they're just, so many problems with the Spurs right now. They were in disarray. Kawhi Leonard didn't trust the team. The team didn't trust them back. There's so many injuries. It was old. It didn't really have its shit together, honestly. Second round, they played the Pelicans. It was just a bad matchup. I mean, that was pretty clear from game one, where it's like, well, they were exploiting two good individual defensive matchups in the first round on McCollum and Lillard, but it was exactly the kind of defense that doesn't work against the Warriors because they space the floor, they have more guys, and it's just a much more complex offense that they had to defend, and it just wasn't going to happen. Then you had, what was it? Well, now you have this series, so then that's where we're at. But I do think that if Houston does end up taking advantage of, as they have done so far, they've really taken advantage, I'm not laughing at that comment. I'm laughing at something else. If they take advantage of the miscues that the Warriors have made in the second quarter and they build on it, then I think they'll have a chance to win this particular game, and which is big for them. But Chris, I think we both know that even if they do, I still think they're going to win this series. I don't think the Warriors are going to be even tested. I don't think it'll. It might. Right? I mean, let's say that the Houston won this game. Do you see them winning game five on top of this if they win tonight? What do you think?
Here's the thing. I agree with what you're saying, but I'm at the point now where I don't even care. Like, I just want to see some good games.
Yeah.
And right now I'm thinking, I'm looking at my TV screen, it's completely black, and I'm like, I might, after I get off this call, I might just go to a bar and watch the end of the game.
That's a good call. That's a good call. Got anything near you?
Yeah, I'm going to have to do that because it's driving me crazy. And if Houston does win this, of course, I will have missed the comeback. But if Houston does hold on, it'll be easily the best game of the conference finals. And so... Yeah, I'm looking at the clock and I'm thinking I can totally sneak out for an hour and have a few beers and watch the end of this one.
Sounds like.
But I'm at the point where I don't even care. Just give me some good basketball games. Where I literally had to turn game three off, just because it was terrible. It was just like Houston was not coming back in that game.
Can't disagree. And I think that we've all, as NBA, as an NBA fan base, have just been begging for juice. We don't even care like who wins or what happens. And I've reached that point with the Celtics series too, just because I'm like, I just want a good series. I just want some good basketball. But I was definitely doing more begging for this for the West series. So this has the potential to be a breath of fresh air. Why don't we sit back and find out? Chris, it's been fun tonight. I thank you very much for joining me on the program. And good luck finding a place to watch the game. And here's to a good second half. All the best. And as far as the next show, I'm going to be on vacation next week, so I won't be on at all next week at all. If either of these series wrap up early, we can do a final show on maybe Friday or Saturday even, depending on what happens. But we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
So thanks again. Enjoy the rest of the game.
Thank you.
And I'll catch up with you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks so much for having me, Dave. This was a pleasure.
Likewise, man. All right. Take care.
All right. Take care.
All right, bud. All right. Well, we'll say goodbye to Chris as he finds his way to the bar. And we say goodbye to you for now. We will check as far as what to do with the rest of the NBA Finals preview. If the Rockets win tonight, then that's pretty definitive that we're probably just not going to be able to get to you till we're into the NBA finals, and so apologies for that. But we certainly will have thoughts to cover with you, and we'll talk about the series and even the end of these two series once we rejoin you again. So we'll see. I mean, there's a lot that can happen between now and then. But there is potential that we will not see you again for 2 weeks. So until then, I'm going to wish you guys a wonderful Memorial Day and my best to all the families who honor those who have served and not lived, period, whether they're dead or alive. I think it's wonderful what the military does for us as a country. So I leave you with that. Enjoy the rest of the NBA playoffs. We hope to rejoin you at some point in the near future. And may this be a good finish to these conference finals. I'm Dave Medina. You can follow us at DidCow on Twitter or on the web at www.didcow.com. Happy trails. Enjoy the basketball. We'll see you next time.